Hey folks, Jim here, producer of Around the House Show. You're loving the audio tips right now, but here's something new. Our full-length episodes and expert interviews are now on YouTube as video, so you can watch the demos, tool close-ups, and guest interviews, or just hit play and listen like a regular podcast. Just search Around the House Show on YouTube, hit that red subscribe button, and turn on notifications. It's free, and you'll get the best of both worlds, visual how-tos when you want them, audio when you're on the go. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app, too. Thanks. And now back to the show.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. All right. Oh, man. Happy weekend.
Absolutely. Whew.
It's been a wild one. Sometimes these weeks...
They seem to be getting longer.
Man, they are just cranking right along. We've got a lot to talk about today. This hour, I really kind of want to talk about our top 10 DIY mistakes that cost you the most money.
Okay.
Because these things... And this isn't some like popular mechanics list. This is my personal list. And, you know, I moderate on a couple different groups out there, which are, you know, home improvement construction groups out there that are really fun. But I get to watch people make some massive mistakes that are expensive. And many times they're well overcommitted on those mistakes before we get there.
Now, I'm also curious to as we go into these, did they talk to a professional or did they just kind of do what they wanted to do? And that's what dug them in this hole.
You know, it's interesting. What happens is, and this is kind of what happens, and it's crazy what happens, is you get family members involved. Like, somebody will make this huge tile mistake on tiling something, and all of a sudden they're like, well, my brother's a drywaller, and he did it. Well, he's a drywaller. He's not a tile setter. So there's some weird family trust. There's people that maybe talk to the wrong home center person. You know, there's all these little things like that happen that kind of make me nervous in a little bit. And it's just multiple facets of stuff. But really what it comes down to is before they started that project, in every one of these categories, probably the leading cause is not doing their research and figuring out what they're doing. They had a good idea, or maybe they did it 20 or 30 years ago and just hadn't done it. And technology has changed.
Yep, and the ways to do things and the ways to do things better have changed in the last few decades.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's one of those things that really gets people caught up. And don't forget, you want to stick around for hour number two today too as well, because next one is going to be home security tips, and we're going to talk about some innovative ways that we haven't really talked about before of keeping your house just a little bit more secure. And then first off, though, I do want to jump into, I had a listener question that came in here this morning here that I just wanted to talk about. And this came in from Charlene, and really enjoy your show. And she says, I'm hoping that you can help me with a decision-making dilemma. After having a Maytag dishwasher, she was happy for 25 years.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
The average lifespan of a dishwasher is 6 to 10 years.
Wow. I would have said maybe 12, but no.
Yeah. 6 to 10 is the average out there. So 25. And, of course, one day it just finally gave up the ghost. You know, She really liked the food chopper, no filter to clean, sanitizing rinse, air, heat, dry options, all the cool things. But now she's probably looking to move in 2 to 4 years, so doesn't want to invest a ton of money into it that she's going to leave behind, but still want a brand that is a good one, dependable. Her last on the thing is collar, because she's got a black stove that they might take with them, but it's 11-year-old, so it might stay around, not sure. And then replaced refrigerator 3 years ago. It's black stainless steel. I appreciate the feedback on brands, color, if this helps. So, and worse off, her husband has hoped to pick up a white Frigidaire for free and put it in there. And thanks, Charlene, for listening to the show. We really appreciate you. First off, just say no to the free dishwasher, because anybody out there, and I don't care what it is, a Frigidaire, Frigidaires are not my favorite dishwashers. Generally, they're noisy. Now, there are higher-end Frigidaires, but Frigidaire is really still a builder brand. It is still your builder's choice kind of thing. And that's okay if you want a low-end dishwasher, but really, to get a good working dishwasher, you got to spend in the $500, probably $550 range on up to get something that's going to clean well, that's going to be quiet, that's going to do the job. We don't have to run the dishes through a few times, or more importantly, pre-scrub them and clean them before you do it. So in her situation, what I would do, since you've got a black stainless refrigerator that's been there for 3 years, I would go out and pick a brand that matches that, because if you're going to sell that house in 2 to 4, you're going to want those appliances to match.
Well, yeah, except, I mean, she's taking the range with her.
But that's black. She's going to have to put one in anyway. So my theory...
I'm curious why she doesn't want to take this. I mean, she's not going to take the dishwasher.
Yeah, no. First off, I would leave that old range. It's 11 years old. Even if it's, you know, by that time it's 15, it's at the end of its life. I'd leave that for somebody else if it looks good.
And in that case, absolutely, I'm with you. But find something that matches that range and leave it there, because it's going to add to the whole kitchen itself.
Exactly. But if you're going to put a new one in there for the new house to make it look good, then I would do a black stainless refrigerator that you've already got. You've already got the black stainless. I would do a black stainless dishwasher and then plan on putting a black stainless range in there when you leave and take your old range with you. But I'll be honest, I'd probably leave that range or just replace it one way or the other. But I do black stainless with that. Find the brand that matches. To be honest, though, if you want the best dishwasher out there, in my experience, it's Miele. Second would be Bosch. They make a really good working dishwasher. But again, Bosch has multiple different levels. You can spend $500, you can spend $1,600, and they all perform, and you get what you pay for. So it's depending on what the options are. And then you get into some other options, which are good. KitchenAid's not a bad one. Samsung, LG all make good stuff. I would stay away from Kenmore. Kenmore doesn't make their own appliances. They put them out to bid every year. And with the question mark behind the Sears brand right now, I would not want to buy a Kenmore dishwasher with a long warranty and have Sears close up the next week, and you are stuck with a brand that never made appliances in the last few decades, because 1 year it's Whirlpool, 1 year it's GE, 1 year it's Frigidaire. It goes out to bid, and whoever the lowest bid is, they get the dishwasher contract. Yep. So I would not want to get after that brand right now. That's just how I look at it. So hope that answers your question, Charlene, but I would get a good one, because it'll save you money. It'll keep you, it'll keep things really going as far as you having clean dishes. And more importantly, it'll save you some money, because you won't be running dishes through twice that didn't clean. So get what you pay for, get something nice, best you can afford, and it'll keep giving back. And maybe get a little more money out of that house, because you've got good appliances in it when the time comes.
Exactly.
To get rid
of it. 2 to 4 years from now, you'll be able to at least add that to the overall value of the home.
Exactly. Exactly. So not too bad. So, all right, well, let's get back to the DIY mistakes that cost you a ton of money. Hey, by the way, make sure you hit us up on Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And you can find us there, LinkedIn, Twitter, all those different places. I'm on Instagram, all those different places. And then make sure you give us a call into the show or send us an email to aroundthehouseonline.com. Head over there. You can message us on that. And we'd love to take your question. That's how Charlene got us. She hit us off the website, and you can do that too. But if you want to call into the the show, you can do that as well.
Our number here is 971-233-8992. You can give us a call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Leave us a message. We'll call you back and record it.
Sounds good. All right. So one of my top ones here that I see that become a big problem out there is DIY electrical fixes. So what I see is people going in there and they start doing their own kind of homegrown wiring.
Oh, what? You mean like what I've been contemplating over the past 48 hours?
Yes.
Although it's something I'm not going to do because I'm not familiar with it. But basically, the heating element in my dryer went out. And I've contemplated going and being like, I could maybe look. Nah, I should.
That's actually an easier fix. I would actually say that you can do that with YouTube and everything else. So that's not as big a deal.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is like the one over there with my wires that I'm pointing to over there that the previous homeowner does that I haven't fixed yet. That's on an exterior light that's off. Because somebody wanted to put in a secondary light over there. And so they just stripped the wires back and weaved in some new ones and then taped it outside of the electrical box.
That's high grade work right there.
That is. That is not what you do. So
no.
Those are the things that cause house fires. Those are the things you got to be very careful with. I've got to rewire that whole little corner over there because it's just one of those things that's not safe. And you see that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I've seen people that have done remodels. And what it comes down to is when they tear a wall out or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, wall wiring.
They take a wall out or they put a bigger opening in and then they're moving electrical. And all those things like that get really ugly really quick when those things happen. Because you just got to be careful. You know, you see more fires that way, you know. It's a great example. I saw a couple weeks ago here on the Facebook groups, somebody was mad because they burned through three different, cords. They were trying to put an extension cord with a air conditioner and, they were burning up the cords, literally melting them down and causing pops and cracks and shorts. And I'm like, you're burning your house down doing that. They don't want you to use an extension cord on
an air conditioner. It takes too much power.
It does. And so unless you get a longer pigtail to put on there, you really shouldn't do it. Now, there's some heavy-duty cords you can use, but you better know what you're doing because otherwise you're going to burn your house down, and nobody wants to see that. And that's where those electrical problems come in. All right, we come back. More DIY mistakes just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every weekend. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got a fun show ahead here. We've been talking top 10 DIY mistakes that are going to cost you a ton of money. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder. But first, we want to make sure that we get your questions answered. The way that you can do that is you can head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. There's two different ways to do it from there. First, you can call us and leave us a message. Our number is 971-233-8992. Or you can go to the Contact Us part under More and send us an email that way. That's how we had our listener question in the last segment.
Yep, exactly. And that way we can help you. Stay tuned in the next few weeks. We're going to get back to doing some more of the Facebook Live stuff again. And so we're almost done with the studio in here. I'm waiting for literally for the Amazon driver to show up out front here for the last little bits of stuff that we need to do this. So we should have it ready to go with the new studio here for the video stuff of things. So stay tuned for that. Well, we were just talking about some of the DIY electrical fixes that you see people doing out there. And many times, you know, when in doubt, if you don't know exactly what you're doing, and you're having to go watch a bunch of YouTube videos and things like that, you know, maybe you're dealing with a four-way switch or something goofy, just bring the professional in. It's going to be cheaper. And electrical is one of those things that I just want everybody to be safe with because that can be something that gets super dangerous real quick and people die if it doesn't end well. So just be careful out there, guys. This is just one of those that you better know exactly what you're doing before you start the project.
At least, I would say, at the very least, consult the expert. You don't have to necessarily pay them to do it, but consult them. Let them know what you want done, and then they can tell you if it's feasible for you to actually be able to do that.
Yeah, and a lot of times, though, here's the one thing, though, with that. If you talk to an electrician, they're not going to want the liability of coaching you many times. They're going to sit there and say, better hire us.
No, well, I guess I'm mainly saying if you know somebody personally.
There we go. If you've got somebody that can help you with it, then you're good to go. I get what you're
that
saying.
That is a professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Not absolutely. Just your buddy that does, you know, some roofing and you want him to do some wiring. It's
exactly,
a little different.
Exactly, exactly. So here's one of the ones that is a super pet peeve of mine. And this is one that I see, if I was going to say probably the most common DIY mistake, when it comes to kitchens and mostly bathrooms, and I would say this is by far the biggest mistake in a bathroom that I see. And this is DIY tiling a tub or shower.
Okay.
This goes badly in many times. Now, there are some great people out there that I know are listeners to the show that do great work, and they've done some amazing DIY projects. But here's what happens, and this is exactly how this goes. You've got three different people telling them three different ways to do it, and they pick all wrong of the three because they're all contradictory.
I mean, yeah, you shouldn't really be mixing and matching like that as far as ideas and on the project.
Well, and here's what happens. And the big part is waterproofing. If I'm going to put a number one problem is waterproofing. The biggest mistake that a homeowner makes when doing a shower surround or a tub surround is they put the backer board up for tile. Or, to be honest, they put up green board sheetrock like they did in the 70s and tile over that, which will 100% fail every time. And they don't put RedGuard or one of the different waterproofing membranes up there. If you were doing tile on a shower and you haven't put up a specific membrane or used a shower system that's waterproof, and Hardy backer, tile backer, any of those things are not waterproof. They are a substrate for tile to stick to. They are not a waterproof system. If you want that, you can go to Weddy, Sluter, or one of those other brands that are meant for that. But tile, I mean, if you're going to do that kind of stuff, if you're going to do a tile shower and you didn't put a waterproof membrane up there, like three coats of RedGuard or whatever you're doing, that stuff has to go up there. And this is the number one mistake for bathrooms that I see time and time again, is not waterproofing that shower correctly. And then maybe you spent $1,500 in materials. In a year, you're going to spend $1,500 in materials again.
It's all going
to
fall off.
And you're going to have to tear it all back out. And then you're going to have to get mold abatement done and all these kind of things.
Because the water seeped in behind it.
Because the water seeped in behind it. Grout, especially concrete grouts and stuff like that, are not waterproof. Water goes right through them. It's a concrete product.
They're porous.
It's porous. It will go through. Tile board, any of those backing boards are not waterproof. Hardy backer, all those, not waterproof unless you get into a shower system, and that's the stuff before. So that is that one expensive mistake that I see. And once you're done, there's not a lot you can do. I mean, I would maybe to save it, if you didn't want to tear the tile off and start over again, I'd say maybe go with a non-porous grout to help. That might buy you some more time, with like a urethane
seal it up
or epoxy.
A little bit.
But you're now betting on that grout, and as soon as that grout fails someplace, and it will, then what happens is you've got water behind it, you've got water going on the wall, and now you've got
a problem.
Mess. So that's one of those that I just want to be super clear about, because that's a hard one. So here's the next one that people do. If you've got a house built, you know, from the 1990s and earlier, I want you to start testing that vinyl flooring out there, because removing asbestos flooring is a tough one. I can't tell you how many times I've had questions, or I've seen on my Instagram, my Facebook groups out there, of people doing this and going, hey, what's the best space to clean this off? And I go, hey, did you just test for asbestos? Crickets.
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, it's bad. And it's like, oh, I thought it was only on the walls, or I only thought it was this. I thought it was only on popcorn. It's like, no, it's everywhere in building materials, and flooring is a big one. So it doesn't matter. And I want to make sure that people will go, oh, it's a square tile. Only 9x9s have, no, they made 9x9 and 12x12s. Test it. That way you know. Now you know how to legally dispose of it and get rid of it. And then you know that you're not spreading this junk all over your house. I mean, if you get rid of it, I see people, oh, I vacuumed up with a shop vac. Great. You just took that and
put it everywhere.
So that is one of those ones that I really want you to make sure, you know, that you get on top of that, because that's one of those things that's going to get expensive, and if somebody finds you, it's even worse. More of Around the House just as soon as we return. To make a better day.
You know, two things only get better with time. Women and wine.
Hey, this is
Farewell, Angelina.
And you're listening to Around the House with Eric G.
It goes down so smooth.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. And if you listen during the week of the podcast, it's all during the week as well. So we've got the midweek special on Wednesdays, and on Thursdays, of course, we have the Around the Toolbox special, which is for the trades and construction and design and all that other stuff. So we kind of jump all over with that. Welcome to the show, guys.
And if you only catch the radio show, please join us on social media, both Instagram and Facebook. We put up 1 minute daily tips. We'd love to get out to you as well.
Yeah, those are Monday through Friday. And then make sure you, if you use Alexa and all those things and use Alexa skills, make sure you download the Around the House skill as well, because that'll give you a weekly tip right there. So you can have that feeding right through your news on your Alexa every week. So take a listen to that, and make sure you get us a hold of us if you've got those questions. We've had a lot of them this week, and I've been answering them, and we just put one in the show earlier in the segment. But give us a call, 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992. We want to thank you for listening to the show. And if you've got friends out there that are maybe DIY challenged, or maybe they're new to all this, make sure you have them tune into the show, send the podcast over to them. And we appreciate to all of you around the world listening to the show. It's absolutely amazing when you see us. You know, it's like, wow, we're number four in Japan. Thanks, guys. Denmark, you guys are rocking. But Canada, you got to step it up a little bit, because even Denmark's beating you on that one. So make sure we got to keep you guys listening to the show up there. We really appreciate it.
Well, I also do want to shout out our newer stations, especially two of which are in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely.
WBBM.
WEEU is the biggest one. Yes. Yep. They're the biggest one up there. And those guys, oh, man, I love those guys up. I can't wait to get back up there. Man, I love
the pictures that I wasn't able to get out there. I've never been to Pennsylvania, but I mean, it looked just gorgeous out there.
Yeah, I was up there and hanging out with those guys, and I had a lot of fun up there. And man, that was only in March, and it feels like it was like a year ago. And I do love, and by all you in that area up there, my favorite little restaurant is up there. I was really, the Ugly Oyster is like this little pub up there that I thought was really cool. And that was probably my favorite restaurant in that whole tip, was right there. Old, cool, Irish looking pub.
So nice.
Went down there with my friends from Baldwin after we did radio last time I was in the studio there. Can't wait to get back out there again. I know next March, I'm sure I'll be back out there again as well. So that should be my annual pilgrimage back out to that area. So stay tuned for that. And good to see my brother and his family too.
Absolutely. So,
family trip there. Well, let's talk back into our top 10 DIY mistakes that we've been talking about. You know, we talked about removing asbestos flooring, tiling, and showers. Oh, that's an ugly one. You know, even DIY electrical fixes. But DIY cabinet design is one of the ones that, as a certified kitchen designer, and we dove into this way deep last week, that is one of those expensive problems that I see people want to take this on. And the conversation usually starts out with, hey, is there a good, easy program to use to design my own kitchen? And I just go, stop.
No,
stop. I mean, I paid for my own design program, and I think retail right now that's about $4,000, and they get you for about $750 a year for support and maintenance on it that you have to have to keep it going.
Is this the 3D?
Yeah,
Oculus.
It does all that stuff, you know. Problem is, though, is you've got to be a cabinet dealer to use catalogs. I mean, it's
to
complex.
Be able to plug and put things in, yeah.
Yeah, because, for instance, when you design with that, it's you know, like, let's say use Craftmade, which is probably one of the largest cabinet companies in the U.S. If you're to use them, you have their catalog, it has their parts and pieces, and now you're designing with their parts and pieces, it shows the right colors, everything else. There is not a good tool out there that is homeowner-friendly that lets you do that. It's just not. So the problem is that designers take years to get good. And you as a homeowner have little to none chance of putting that. Yeah, you just, it's going to end badly. And it's going to look like you did it, which is even worse. And then I think the other problem is people make the mistake of is they go into this going, oh, I'm just going to replace what I did. Well, great. That's like going out and buying. Let's say, okay, let's say you've got a car. Let's say you've got a, you know, a 1978 Ford Fairmont wagon, because that's basically what that 1978 kitchen is. It's just that ugly station
old
wagon. So now you're going to go recreate it the exact same way, but just with nicer stuff. So it's kind of like putting a paint job on that 1978 Ford Fairmont. Hey, it's got new paint. It's great.
You designed it like
1978. You want to put all those new things in for the new kitchens and not just carbon copy your old one, because now you could put in those accessories that mean something. And as a homeowner, there's just no way for you to get that educated that quickly. It's going to be so much cheaper to hire a designer for that. And so that's one of my big top expensive mistakes that you see out there, because one mistake, here's your problem. Maybe it's $800 for a cabinet. Maybe you messed up and you got all the top cabinets wrong. Maybe you paid $15,000 for cabinets and you made a $7,000 mistake.
Or you measured wrong.
Yeah,
and they don't
any
fit.
Of that. Oh, just hire a designer. Let them handle it. Hire a certified kitchen designer or any kind of an accredited kitchen designer like that. You know, even the there's all the different accreditations through the National Kitchen and Bath Association. Hire one of them to do it right. And you're going to be good. It'll be okay. All right. Now, here's another one that we talk about a fair amount in here. And, Dan, you're going to laugh. DIY basement waterproofing and finishing. We talk about this a fair amount.
This is probably one of the biggest ones on our list.
Yeah. So here's what happens. People go in. They drape some plastic down over the walls. I'm going to finish the basement and build a man cave. And 6 months later, because they just moved into the house, they figured out the basement's flooding. The plastic's keeping maybe the drywall fine, but when it hits the ground down there and it starts soaking up the walls, now you've got a moldy mess across your new carpet that you put in, and the bottom 12 inches of sheetrock is all nasty, musty, smelly, and you got black mold growing everywhere.
Big problem.
Big problem. This is one of those things that I see happen in you house flippers out there that don't care about what's going on, and again, you know, like anything else, there's a few of you that do horrible work out there, and there's a lot of you that do some pretty decent work out there. But for you other ones out there that are the hacks that I always complain about.
And you know who you are.
Yeah, you are the hacks. Here's the problem, is that you guys create this moldy mess. Homeowners move in, and 6 months later, they got a mess. Now, in your defense, you went into a house that you had no idea what the research was in the basement. You didn't pay attention to the signs that there was moisture down there, and you just kind of blew through it and went. There are systems that you can buy with a wet basement that you can put on the wall that will divert moisture, that won't rot, that won't get mildewy, that you can control that with. But this takes serious planning, and if you don't know exactly what you're doing with this, you will create a moldy, nasty, unhealthy basement, which then gets spread around your house because those mold spores will go everywhere, and now you got a bigger problem. And by the way, don't clean mold with bleach. Stop it, please.
Don't use anything that has water in it.
Yeah, because it
feeds
it. To
clean bleach, because that's what it uses to spread and grow.
Yeah, so if you've got mold, by the way, just and so I know all of our loyal listeners out there that listen every week, thank you, because you guys all know this, but this is for the new ones out there. Use a mold killing like Concrobium or one of those other ones out there. They work great for killing mold and preventing it. And then if you go do some painting, there's some new Zinsser primer out there that is actually mold-killing primer. So once you've killed it, you can put that over the top, and now you're good to go.
And it basically seals it away.
Yeah, so you're good to go, and it'll keep it from growing again. So that's another one of those big tips. Now, here's another one I want to do before we go out to break here. This is a big one. Painting a deck. Here's the thing. Let's say you've got a stained deck, and you're like, it's getting a little old. I'm going to paint it. Awesome. Just realize that paint is not going to last as long as the stain did before.
Because you're painting over the stain.
Yeah, and the paint is just a solid color. So a stain soaks mostly into it. And there's a wear layer on top, and it's really down in it. Now, as soon as you put something that's on the top, like a paint, It's going to flake off. It's going
to... It has nowhere to absorb and soak into.
It's not going to work well. And the problem is that once you've done that, now you've committed to having to sand the deck every time when you do that. And so if you do that, or if you use one of these newer deck restore thick coatings over the top, it goes on like almost like an overly dried thick, almost like peanut butter paint you put out there.
Okay.
It's super thick and it goes on really thick layer. That is what I call the last ditch effort to save a deck and get a year or two out of it. Because here's what happens. You put this stuff on, it's almost like bedliner for a truck. It just goes on super thick. The problem is in 2 years when it's peeling up, you can't touch it up again and make it look right. So at that point, you're just about to the position of, okay, I need to rip the deck boards off and start over.
That's about the last thing you can do.
That is your Hail Mary shot to make your deck look good for a couple years, to make sure you put enough money in to put in a good composite deck or something on the other side of that. Because I'll be honest, that's that one that once you've painted it, you can't go back very easily without really spending a ton of time sanding it off. And you wouldn't want to use any kind of a stripper on that because it's just going to be a mess. So you're committed. And once that, I've got a painted deck on my house out here, I'm going to paint it one more time. Because it's not peeling yet, but I don't like the color, I'm going to paint it one more time, and then it's all coming off, and I'm going to put a composite deck on it because I'm just not going to mess with it, because I don't want to do deck finishing. I have, my situation is on most exposed decks here, especially in the Northwest where we're heavy rain on our side of the hill. You get 2 years out of the best finish, and then you're overstanding it again, and I just don't want to put that many chemicals out on there because it's just really not going to matter. More of Around the House just as soon as we return. This is your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, want to hit us up on Facebook? Please do. Round the House with Eric G. Hit us up on the website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com. And of course, Instagram, Twitter, all those other places. We've got the daily tips going up there as well. And make sure you enable that Alexa skill for Around the House with Eric G. You go into your skills menu, add us in there, and we'll get you a weekly tip as well.
We want to hear your questions and your comments about the show. For any home improvement questions for us, give us a call here in the studio, 971-233-8992. If you're shy, no problem. We also have an email where if you go over to aroundthehouseonline.com, you can go to the contact us, send us an email. That's for questions or comments or concerns or ideas or anything.
Absolutely. Into that right there. And hey, when you're listening to the podcast, make sure you leave reviews. We love those on there. And maybe we'll share some new ones up here once we get a few. We'll have some fun with that.
We're starting to get some stuff in the bank.
Some
other things that we haven't quite aired.
No, we've got some cool stuff coming up. By the way, we will have a contest coming up. So Dane, we're not going to talk about it yet, but it's sitting over there. And some of it's sitting right next to him over there, next to his chair, of some of the stuff we're going to be giving away. That's going to be fun, isn't it?
We've been talking about this. I've been looking forward to this.
We have. Just waiting for the rest of it to show up, and we'll be good to go. So stay tuned for that one. Well, hey, we're going to run out of time, so I don't want to make sure we've got a plenty of this list, because I've been just, not going through this list as fast as I thought I would. I want to talk painting for a minute, because we just talked about painting a deck, but really, there's two more items on this list that are painting that I think are really bad ideas. One is painting concrete. Painting concrete is one of those things that's really tough to do and make it stick there. I love staining concrete. I love doing stamping and those kind of things where they go through and do stuff. But when you put paint on concrete outside, it goes sideways really quick. And now you're chasing it down. So now you're grinding it down, sanding it, doing a bunch of stuff. You know, I say if you're going to be doing concrete painting, you should be looking at epoxies and those kind of professionally applied finishes. And I'll be honest, I love painting. I'm really good at it. I don't paint my own garage floors anymore. I don't. I've had it fail so many times. Now I call in professionals and have it done.
And just have it sealed?
I have them come in and they'll, we'll do a paint in this garage floor in here one of these days. And I will have a company come in. I'll clean everything out of the garage. They'll come in. They'll grind it. They'll clean it. They'll get all the prep work 100%, because if your prep work is at 99% and not 100%, and you miss one little area, one little thing, it comes up the size of dinner plates when you pull in at the hot tires in the summer.
Yep.
And you have big pieces of paint missing, and now it looks horrible. So I had a brand of paint do that about 15 years ago in a garage that I built.
Learned that lesson,
and the company went, oh, wow, it had warranty for not doing that. They sent a company out to do it. They ground it all down, redid it again, and it still did it. So I don't buy DIY brand finishes for garage floors anymore because I just, with hot tires coming in and stuff like that, I just haven't had it successfully be done. So, and that was over fairly new concrete that had just cured too. So this wasn't like there was something weird in it. It was well cured concrete. The other one, vinyl siding. The whole reason people put on vinyl siding is to not have to paint. And if you don't like the color, my best advice for you is to go through and replace that. Put up a good hardy board siding that you can go through and put paint on that will last decades. And you'll be really happy with it. Vinyl siding, the problem with it and why you don't see it, it's kind of funny. Vinyl siding is very popular in the East Coast. So you guys out there in our East Coast family sees it all the time. Out here in the West Coast, it was popular in the 90s and 2000s, early 2000s. And then it started getting moldy on the outside, and it started getting chalky, and it got a stigma of being very low end. So you just don't see too much vinyl siding on the West Coast anymore. But it is extremely popular on the East Coast. So it's interesting how those trends go back and forth. However, even though there are paint companies that make paint to paint it, don't do it. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a nightmare. And in all those little chalky areas, the paint doesn't like to stick. And now it comes off, and then you've got a problem. So it's just one of those things. If you don't like it, tear it out. Put a real siding up there that's a hardy plank or one of the concrete, composite sidings up there. Put the new siding up. Paint the color you want your house. And then in 10 years, if you don't like it, you can paint it again.
Yep.
But just leave that off. Now, here's one of the ones that I see going sideways as well is really DIY window and door replacement. And you could actually put it in and do a really good job. Where the DIYer makes the mistake is they don't use the right flashing around the top of the door, and they don't use the right flexible flashing around the outside. So it's water intrusion that happens with this. That's where the biggest window mistakes and door mistakes happen, is that they don't get it sealed off well enough. You don't just put that in there, especially if you're doing siding, DIY siding and stuff. You don't do that underlayment correctly for the high performance building stuff. And that's one of the things that I've learned the most from, probably from all my speaking engagements, working with these other guys that I work with that are out there training when I go off and do these events, because now I'm working with guys that are experts and I can learn from these guys. And it's funny, when you're talking to window and door guys, that is where the professional stands out. Because if not, in 2 or 3 years, you got a moldy wall cavity because water was getting back in there. And they're like, why is it getting moldy behind my curtains? Well, it's because it's been leaking water for 2 years when it rains. So these are things that are really the gotchas. So if you're thinking about tackling one of those projects, just spend the time and make sure that you've got that part dialed in, because that is really, outside of getting it plumb and level, the most important part of this, because otherwise you're just going to be redoing again and you'll probably rot out the window as well if you're using a wood window. So you just want to make sure of that one. And then here's the one that's kind of the pet peeve from watching too much Chip and Joanna Gaines. Demo day.
Grab the sledgehammer.
Yeah, don't bring the sledgehammer out to take walls down, please.
But it looks so fun.
It is, I love it. But here's the thing, and I want everybody to make sure of this, because I've seen it done. I've seen this. I've been in a room watching this happen. Demo day, somebody goes, swings the hammer, and there's a water line back there. Boosh. I've had my water line mistakes. I mean, I've put screws through them. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny. I was putting in our last house, I was putting the TV up.
Right through. Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny was it hit water so hard that it went and hit the window on the other side of the room.
Ooh.
And how did I do? I needed to go turn the water off to the house. I went over and opened the window out. It blew the screen out. But water was clearing over the couch.
There was no water in the house.
There's no water in the house at that point until I turned it off, and then it came down. But it was quite the mess. And so that's kind of the last one here, is just making sure in the demo day that you go in there, carefully remove the drywall. You can bust it open. But again, don't be taking the cabinets down with sledgehammers and that stuff. take it apart, surgically remove it. That way, maybe you can donate a few
recycle
more things.
It, yeah.
Recycle it. And then nobody gets hurt. And more importantly, nobody damages the stuff that you're trying to keep.
Causing more problems.
No, there's always something hiding back there. And that's where it's going to be a big, big problem. All right, coming up, home security tips in hour two. Just as soon as Around the House returns.
Everyone, it's Eric G from Around the House. I'm teaming up with Cam Anderson. Yeah, the epoxy live edge master from Blacktail Studio for his biggest project yet. A full home remodeling on his stunning Blacktail Ranch. We're talking about this charming but dated farmhouse from lead paint chic to a modern functional dream home. Structural fixes, smart layouts, custom woodworking flair, real budgets, hiccups, pro tips, all documented step by step. If you're a Blacktail fan or love epic renovations, this is your series. Head to my YouTube channel right now, search Around the House Eric G, subscribe, and check out the Blacktail Ranch playlist. Cam's intro video is live, and a fresh episode will be dropping very soon. Don't miss this transformation and subscribe today.